tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim is back on Monday. What began as a marketing campaign, Blue Monday, it was originally used as a marketing tactic for a UK travel company, Sky Travel, in 2005, has since gone on to be the nickname, I guess, that we give to the gloomiest day of the year for various reasons. It's coming up on Monday, January 6th. It's Blue Monday, and it's the saddest day of the year. The holidays are over. The 16th. Did I say the 15th? I meant the January 16th. Monday. It's coming up on January 16th. And Christmas wreaths have been put away. The tree is gone. The excitement of the holidays is over, and it's all just started to settle in. And we wanted to talk about the effect that that can have on your mental health. So we're bringing in Gary Dierenfeld, a therapist, and his website is yoursocialworker.com to help walk us through this. Gary, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Richard, and I'm really pleased to be here tonight to chat about this with you.
Well, thanks for doing it. I do very much appreciate it. So tell me, does the end of the holiday season really affect our mental health that much?
Yeah, actually it does. You know, we're in the thick of things. Think of the perfect storm from a mental health perspective. You've managed to squeak through Christmas. Maybe your marriage wasn't so great, but you didn't want to call it quits then, so you've waited till January. You've got seasonal affective disorders. We're into the second, third month of that, so we're at the peak, if you will, for that as a disorder. And the bills. The bills are coming in, and let's face it, in today's economy, people already cannot make rent, food on the table, etc. So this is the perfect storm, particularly for feeling overwhelmed. And the degree to which people are overwhelmed, that lends itself to depression and anxiety.
And we have chosen January 16th, Monday, January 16th as Blue Monday. I guess, you know, there's leeway. We can walk into this month not feeling, not feeling great. I think New Year's resolutions have something to do with this as well. There's something about them. Everyone says, all the experts say, don't make New Year's resolutions because they often just lead to disappointment.
Well, there you go. People in the spirit of New Year's want to bite off more than they can chew. So if you do not have small, measurable goals that you can hold yourself accountable to, therein you can also feel overwhelmed. So it might have been to lose weight, quit drinking, get along better with your spouse, whatever. We want people who've made those resolutions to think in terms of small, incremental goals, not the holus bolus that you're biting off so much that by this third week of January, it's a house of cards that crashes, because that too can lead to that sense of that big blue Monday.
And support systems around this time of year are very important. So often over Christmas, we see family in a way that perhaps we only see them once a year. We see them in a way that we don't normally see them. But we really need, coming into January, February, we really need those support systems around us. So it's not just friends and family. It could be as simple as joining a book club or something like that.
Yeah, honestly. And, you know, family... Richard, it's a blessing and a curse. It depends on the luck of the draw. I didn't get to pick my parents. I happen to be lucky. I got a good pair there.
Sometimes you have to choose your logical, not your biological family.
Well, hey, you know what? I've never heard that line. I'm going to steal it. Thank you very
much.
You're welcome. But, you know, hopefully our family is a support system. And if you've, you know, kind of missed your family, you got together at Christmas, there, you know, that could add to the longing that one experiences at this point in January as well. But we, you know, you mentioned support systems, you mentioned the book club. That's true. How did you just put it?
Logical, not biological family.
Logical, not biological.
The family you choose, not the one you were born in. To. It's not mine. Armistead Maupin coined that, but I do love it.
Okay, I love it too. So in choosing your logical family, these are folks with whom you share an interest, folks who treat you kindly, and there's some reciprocity to the relationship, folks with whom you can share a cup of tea, forget the booze, share a cup of tea or a coffee with, and where you can feel comfortable and chat openly, transparently, authentically, and you can gain some support. We want that for people. The degree to which people feel isolated, it tends to magnify issues of depression and anxiety.
And there's all the other things that we hear, and we're told this all the time. You're not sleeping well. Well, don't look at your phone for an hour before you go to bed. Make sure that your bedroom is very dark. But those things make such a huge difference in terms of the quality of your sleep. And if you're getting good sleep, that goes a very long way to making you feel better.
Yeah. And here again, Richard, we want people to make small changes, not these great big Herculean changes. So if you're one of those folks who has trouble sleeping, consider maybe a weighted blanket. Consider turning the thermostat down a little. Consider putting away the screen at least an hour before you want to go to sleep. But don't do all these things at once. Try one, try another. So again, you're not overwhelming yourself and creating anxiety with a million strategies, you know, all at the same time.
I'm speaking with Gary Derenfeld, therapist. And if you want to know more about the great work that he does, go to yoursocialworker.com. All these things, a healthy diet, being physically active, all that kind of stuff. These are bits of advice that we get from a lot of people, and we get them all the time. And they can seem kind of daunting. So I love the bit of advice you're saying, don't do it all at once. Do it incrementally, and you'll work towards feeling better. But it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to just suddenly get one good night's sleep and wake up the next day and jump up and start screaming hallelujah. Things take a little while.
Exactly. So we want people to think in terms of less is more. The problem is many people, like I said, go to these Herculean efforts, they overwhelm themselves, and that adds to the sense of anxiety. But if you say, I'm going to choose to do one thing differently, you can stick with that. And then it's actually measurable. You can see, did it make a difference? If it didn't, swap it out for something else. If it made a difference, add something else. And that way, by doing it one piece at a time, you can get yourself to a better place.
At what point, you're a therapist, at what point do people consider going to a therapist? At what stage in your mental journey, your mental health journey, do you think that it's important to call a therapist?
Yeah, good question. First of all, there's a dearth of services available. So if you're going to call sooner than later, just to access something. But having said that, if your issues are interfering with your life, if you find yourself grumpier, if you find that your self-care is declining, if you find that it's difficult getting up in the morning, going to work, these are signs that the issues own you as much as you think you might own them. So if the issues are owning you, yeah, for sure get help, and do so before you get the slide into the crisis of the day. It's always a lot easier to help someone before a major crisis.
Is there any movie or television show that gets therapy right that you can think of? I think of the Bob Newhart show. You know, he was a therapist on that show. I don't know. Is there any pop culture reference that actually gets it right?
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's such a good question. No one's ever asked me, and I'm actually stymied because I can't come up with one, Richard.
The Sopranos?
First of all, I love The Sopranos, and I wouldn't want to be his therapist, quite frankly. But I don't think even that got it right. There's the new one on Netflix where the fellow who's a young comedian does comedy movies. I forget his name, but he's showing life with his therapist,
Jonah Hill.
Thank you, Jonah Hill. And, you know, a lot of people are resonating with that. So if you want to get a better sense, because the truth of the matter is, he's a therapist, not Jonah Hill, but his therapist who he's highlighting.
And we have
it might
to,
give you a sense of what some people do.
We have to go there. Gary Derenfeld, thanks so much, therapist. The website is yoursocialworker.com. I'm Richard Krause. Stay with me. Lots more to come.